may not remember, but today is the final portion of a series we began weeks ago about faith. And today I'm going to be speaking on conforming faith. Okay? And the word conforming can be confusing when we talk about conforming faith. So I want to kind of lay some groundwork here. When I talk about conforming faith, I'm not talking about us conforming faith to our likeness, to what we want it to be. I'm talking about a faith that comes from God that conforms us to the image of God. And that's what we have to remember, because conforming faith, as the title says, is real faith. I've heard many a preacher out there. I mean, I can remember when I was coming up in the Lord and I was listening to Charles Stanley and Chuck Swindoll and Tony Evans. I mean, I had some good teachers at 2 and 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning when I was on third shift, and I had a five-hour window of nothing but solid, conservative Bible teaching. I loved it. I ate it up. I read the entire Bible in a year at that point in time. In fact, it was less than a year. I loved it. It was the first time I had read the Bible true, and this was years ago. And Russell was going through cancer, if that tells you how long ago that was. And so, you know, it changed my life, being under that good teaching. But there's a lot of bad teaching out there, and especially today in big churches where they're telling the people, you know, God loves you, and give your money to the church and plant seeds, and God's going to plant in you, and you're going to have peaches and cream and popsicle and lollipop dreams, right? How many of you have found that place in life? We have it for moments, don't we? But then life comes back. And it's in life, real life, true life, where we find that conforming faith is real faith, because it gets us through the hard times. It gets us through because God gets through to us. That's conforming faith. This fake stuff that makes people feel good about themselves, I feel for them, because there's going to come a day when judgment comes and they're going to stand before the Lord and say, "Lord, Lord, look at what I did in your name." And he's going to say, "Away from me, for I never knew you." Because you never allowed faith to change you. You kept trying to change me. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can we get an amen on that? Aren't we glad he does not change? Because if he was a changing God, if he was a shifting God, we would not know how to please him. We would not know what could ever get us into his presence. And it so bothers me, because there are so many religions out there in this world that are built on that very premise. That God's having a bad day today, and so when you get there, he's going to kick you out. What? And you folks, you know, I think it's funny, because people are like, "No, there's no religion like that." Read the Quran. If Allah happens to be in a bad mood, doesn't matter how good you were, how many of the tenets you put up with or did or whatever, Buddha makes no promises. He wrote a big book, but he makes no promises. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." That's a promise. That's a promise. And that, my friends, was written in blood. That he paid a price that we could not pay. And the only way we get in is if he unlocks the door. Amen? That's conforming faith. That's conforming faith. So today, I want to take us back to where we were. How many of you remember on the last time I preached on faith? How many of you remember where we were? What were we talking about? You don't need to know the scripture. What was the story? I'm testing you to see how much of pastor's stuff you keep and retain. Peter walking on the water, and that's exactly where we're going to go. Matthew 14. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 14. Very good, Miss Dottie. You get a star for the day. Matthew walking on the water. And it's so funny because I used it to show us forgotten faith the last time we got together, if you remember that. Well, today I'm going to use it to show you conforming faith. Because when we think about the forgotten faith, that was after he was walking on the water and he saw the wind, okay? And all of a sudden he forgot and he began to go down, okay? But conforming faith did something else. So I want to read the story, and then we're going to look at another story because we're going to compare these two stories. There are many stories that I could go to. I could talk about Abraham as he went to sacrifice Isaac. Remember, Isaac was the child of promise. He was going to have lineage beyond lineage through his son, and God asked him to what? Sacrifice him. Okay? How about Noah in the midst of turmoil and strife and everything else, everything that was going on, can you imagine the amount of controversy that was going on in Noah's life as he's building a great big boat, telling everybody it's going to rain and nobody had ever seen rain before? How about Moses? You know, we could go down through the history and talk about these people, but I'm going to pick two. We're going to talk about Peter. We're going to talk about Paul, because they're both New Testament. Not that we're a New Testament church, we are a Bible church, amen, in its wholeness, Old Testament and New Testament. So from the 22nd chapter verse in the 14th chapter, these are the words we read. Immediately he made disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly God's Son." Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. Now, I want you to hang on to the thoughts that are there. I want you to hang on to what Peter was saying. Okay, what Peter was saying. And then I want you to turn in the book of Acts to chapter 9, because we're going to look at another one of the apostles, a later apostle. This is one who is, as he puts it, abnormally born into the apostleship. And I want us to look at just what happened here with the apostle Peter in chapter 9. And this is where Peter meets the Lord for the first time. I want to put a bookmark in there because I'm going to be coming back to that. Beginning in the first verse. Now please remember, at this time Paul's name was still Saul. Okay? It says, "Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, and he asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do. The men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were opened, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, he brought him into Damascus. Two entirely different stories. Two entirely different sets of circumstances. But there's a similarity in these two stories. Can any of you pick it out? Can any of you see what the similarity is? I can't hear you, Charles. He says, no, no, no. They both recognized the Lord. Now, this is funny, because did they recognize the Lord? Neither one of them did. Peter said, Lord, if it is you, okay? And Paul says, who are you, Lord? But the reality is they both were looking for the Lord. Now, I want you to think about something. Peter was a disciple. He knew who Christ was. Paul had no idea who Jesus really was. But I want you to remember something. Paul was zealous for God. The same God that we know as God, Yahweh God, okay? Paul thought he was doing right in the eyes of the Lord, because here comes up this sect. Please remember, at this point in time in Jewish history, there had been many, 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 many sects that came up claiming the Messiah had already come or what have you, and you know, they were some real nutcases out there. So this was just another one of those instances. And Paul, who believed in God, who was steadfast, he was a Pharisee. What does that mean? What is a Pharisee? He was a lawyer. He knew the law. He knew the law. To Paul, worshiping God was honoring the law. Okay? Look at any attorney today. What do they apprise more than anything else? The law. And knowing the law. But God's more than the law, so much more than the law. He is a grace unending. He is a love that knows no bounds. He's not just a written word. He's so much more. So here was a man who was sold out to God, Yahweh, but did not know the Messiah. And his comment tells us that. Who are you, Lord? And if you notice, it's capital L. And Peter says, if it is you, Lord, capital L. And in both instances, they met Christ. In both instances, they came face to face with God Most High, who is Jesus the Christ. Because you see, conforming faith, here's my first point, conforming faith seeks God, not self. Conforming faith seeks God, not self. So many people want to do something, they start the process of doing it, and then they want God to bless the process. Folks, God is the process. We have to seek Him. I'll tell you right now, Peter did not start out that day wanting to walk on water. Paul did not start that day wanting to be blind. Oh, and boy, there's a story in that one. Because you think about this. Who saw the light of heaven? Saul, right? Paul. I'm going to call him Paul because I'll get myself all flustered. Paul saw the light of the Lord. But after he had seen the light, what was he? Blind. Because that was his spiritual condition. Though his heart knew God, he had no eyes to see the Lord. He had no eyes to see truth. And his blindness shows us that. How many people are out there speaking and doing things in the name of the Lord, and yet they're completely and totally spiritually blind because they don't have conforming faith? Here's poor Peter out there on the water. Thought he saw a ghost, right? Now, do you think these guys believed in ghosts? I'm sure they had probably never saw one before, but if you are there at 4 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and you see something coming across the water, would you think it's a man? I think it's amazing, because they cried out, and then he said, no, it's okay, don't be afraid, it's I. And Peter's first words, seeking the Lord, is this true? Is this true? Lord, if it's you, call me to walk on the water. And it's so cool because Jesus didn't go into some eloquent speech. He didn't, you know, he didn't pontificate like pastor does and wave his hands and strut all over the stage. He just said, come. One word, and it changed Peter's circumstance. Because all of a sudden, he got out of the boat and he walked on the water. Now, in your life, as you're going through troubles and you're going through trials, are you going to want to walk on water, or you want to be blind going into it? Which of the two do you want to choose? Because there are a lot of times when we want what we want, not what God wants. So we're walking blind, and we don't even know we're walking blind. There are so many times that we're walking in our own faith, in our own desires, in our own expectations, in our own anticipations, rather than wanting what God wants us to have. And I hate to say this, folks, but sometimes God wants us to have a little bit of pain. I know that sucks. Do you think Jesus didn't have pain on the cross of Calvary? My goodness, folks, he bore all our sin. Can you imagine what happened to him in the Garden of Gethsemane? That's where he carried our sin, in that garden. That's why he bled as sweat pouring out of him. His body hemorrhaged from the amount of sin he was carrying in those moments. But for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God, the Father, in glory. And there he pleads for each and every one of us. Oh, praise his name. I'm serious, people. I had two people. Praise his name. Conforming faith changes us from the inside out. It opens up eyes that are spiritual eyes, not physical eyes, that we can see God and recognize God. We may not like where God's leading us. You don't have to like it. Love him. Just love him and hang on. You know, I'm reminded of the woman who had the bleeding issue for 12 years. All she did was touch his garment and got healed. What do you think will happen in our lives if we grab a hold of God and don't let go? You know, we sing the songs, through it all, and we ought to be saying, through some of it. Can I get an amen on that one? But it is through it all, when we truly depend on Jesus, when we truly depend upon his word, we will get through it all, because conforming faith changes us into an eternal being. Folks, please remember, what we're going through now isn't for now. I know this sounds stupid, but it's a truth. What you are going through now is preparing you for eternity. This is school. You all thought you graduated, right? No, that didn't happen yet. You didn't die. That's our graduation. When we die, or when we're raptured, praise Jesus, That is when life really starts. That is when we will be living in such a manner that there will be no more pain. We will live in victory. Okay? Now, I want you to think about that, because once we get through this life, there's 1,000 years that we have to live with all kinds of miserable people here on earth. I want you to think about that. Because people are still going to be here. And are people naturally good? I like your expressions right now. But we need to remember, when we are the bride of Christ, we are going to be presenting ourselves in such a way that we will be flawless. Not because of anything we've done, but because of everything He has done in and through us. And is yet going to do through us. So what we're learning now, what we're getting through now, is preparing us for eternity. Not just the millennium period, but I'm talking eternity after the millennium with God, when we will be with Him forever. And I think it's funny, because Scripture speaks very little about what happens in eternity, other than the fact that we will enter into a new state where we will be with Him forever. And my brain tries to contemplate that. I can't even get off the ground with that one. Not yet, anyhow. Perhaps once the millennium starts, I might get a little closer to those thoughts. But for now, I have to be happy understanding that I'm going to go through troubles in this life. I have to be happy understanding that true conforming faith makes us look at God. True conforming faith seeks God out. If you notice, both men acknowledged that they wanted to know who this was. Is it you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? It seeks God out. It doesn't tell God what to do. How many times in our faith do we tell God what we want Him to do? Okay, take this away from me. Really? You're going to tell God what to do? Yeah. I think it's so funny. You know, while it was raining, we got well over 14 inches of rain. I know we did. Okay. In fact, I got a phone call the other day, and it, some places it was over 24 inches of rain in a three-day period, something like that. And folks, we had an inundation that was amazing. You know, I didn't pray for God to take the rain away once. I prayed, God, if it be thy will, bring the sunshine. Anybody look outside lately? And I'm not being smart and saying, yeah, I did that. I didn't do nothing. You all know that, right? But the reality is, God wanted us to go through a period of rain. Why? I don't know. And you know what? I look at it and I say to myself, you know, man is manipulating a lot of things right now, including the weather, whether you believe that or not. I don't care. I know it to be true. But the reality is, nothing happens that God doesn't approve. He allows it to come to train up His children. How many of you put your children into situations where they're made to grow? We do it every day, whether we realize we're doing it or not. How about it, moms? And our kids think, you're just being mean. No, I'm trying to teach you something, right? Just like our parents did us. And once we get to be an adult, we don't have to learn anything anymore, right? Wrong chicken. Because we have an eternal parent who wants us to understand that not only are we to live in this conforming faith that doesn't seek self but seeks God, but we are to live it in such a way that others are drawn to it. We need to remember, second point, conforming faith changes us. Conforming faith changes us. When Peter took his eyes off of the Lord, what happened to him? He started going down, didn't he? Paul never had his eyes on God. So he who thought he could see found out in a very real way that he couldn't because he was made blind. He thought he had all the answers. When we understand that, all of a sudden, true conforming faith begins to change us. And we can find ourselves walking on water. We can find ourselves understanding and knowing what God's thoughts are, what God's plans are. Now, does that mean we're going to figure it all out? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. God gives us little pieces. If God gave us all knowledge all at once, what would happen to us? I think we'd blow up. You know those commercials, poof, you know, where the head pops off and purple smoke comes out? That's really an old commercial, you know. I stopped watching TV years ago. But I think that's what would happen to us. It'd be too much. So he gives us tiny bits. Remember, God didn't give us full revelation for almost 4,000 years. And we're still trying to figure this book out. And we've had the full book for 2,000 years now. Think about that. How smart is we? It just amazes me. There is so much that God wants to truly, truly show us and bring into our lives. But that means we have to change from what we were to what God wants us to be. And that's how conforming faith works. Conforming faith, as Peter and as Paul, draws us towards God to get us into the situations that God wants us to be in. Now, I hate to say this, but do you think God wanted Peter to drown? Do you think that's why he put him on the water? Just to see him fail? No. God put him on the water to let him walk on water, to have an experience of God that no one else has ever had. God knocked Paul off his horse and made him blind because he wanted him to have an experience. Sometimes the experience isn't pleasant. You know, I'm sure when Peter was out there walking on the water, he was like, oh my gosh, look at this. Could you imagine? I mean, I don't know what he was doing walking towards the Lord, but could you imagine what was going through his mind at that moment? I can't. I positively can't. But I know in times of my life when I have been walking with the Lord, all my mind does is glorify him. I mean, I can recount times and times and times. You know, 5 heart attacks, 2 DVTs, 1 in each leg, okay? You know, 14 pulmonary emboli in your lungs and all this different stuff. And you think you're dead, okay? You know, an infection in your thigh, and a thigh as big as your waist, and they're going to take your leg off. And God says, no. What do? You stand there and say, well, I hope not. No. You start praising him. You get up and you start walking around the hospital room, and they're like, you can't get out of bed. Well, yes, I can. God told me I could. You start doing things because God tells you to do them, not because other people don't want you to. Conforming faith makes us conform to God no matter what happens. What do you think the other disciples thought when Peter got out of that boat? They were probably thinking, he's going down. What are you doing? They were probably grabbing for him and everything else. They were in the middle of a storm, and Peter's getting out of the boat. Come on, people. You're in the middle of a storm. It's time to get out of the boat. In Christ Jesus, it is time to get out of the boat. Remember, the boat does not determine who you are. God does. I am who you say I am. Now do you see how that song turns from, at the beginning, it's an inward song, drawing us to the place of the assurance of God. But the reality is, as we exit today, it's going to be assurance of who God says I am. And that's where my life is. My life honors God because he defines me. I don't define him. I am who you say I am, and no one else. That's conforming faith. Conforming faith brings us to the place of saying, I am not all the things my parents and the community and everybody else has spoken against me. I am not a disappointment. I am not, you know, I can remember growing up, and I'm going to say some things here about my dad. Please understand. I love my dad, but he was a fallen man, okay? I love him with all my heart. Didn't like what he did, but I love him with all my heart. And I know he's in heaven now, and I've forgiven him for all of this, okay? Because as he's forgiven, so too am I. Because I've been a louse all my life too, believe me. You don't know me outside of Christ. But my dad used to tell me, you are lazy. You are nothing but a problem. You are worthless. I mean, all I heard was these things all my life until I got myself into some serious trouble. And finally, at the age of 18, my dad said, for the first time in my life, I love you. I didn't believe him. Because for years, all I heard was how worthless I was. Until I became that worthless thing. And now you want to tell me you love me? Get out of here, dude. Do you want to know what the first words God spoke to me were? The audible words that I heard? I love you. I'll never forget it. First words he spoke to me. First words I ever heard. Do you think this boy was changed? I'll guarantee you. In a shot. Boom. Yeah. God says, I love you. And he wants us to change. Not because he wants us to be something other than what he knows we can be in the power and glory of his might. He knows you from before the creation of the world. He knows what you're going to be. He has a new name for you. A name that no one else knows but him. A name that is so glorious that the angels can't even speak of it. They long to look into these things because they don't understand how something so sinful as we can be given a redemptive grace that changes us from glory to ever-increasing glory. You understand that's what that's talking about. That's our progressive sanctification. That as we come into conforming faith, God changes us from where we are because we're already in glory in Jesus Christ to ever-increasing glory as we become more and more the image of His Son who is our Savior. As we submit to conforming faith and are changed. Miss Gloria, are you done yet? Still in process? No, still in progress. Amen, Marion. We are in progress. That is one of the statements of our church. You're going to see it on the bottom of our postcard. You're going to see it on the banners. Please forgive our mess. We are a work in progress. Not process, because process can be static. Progress means moving forward. My third and final point. Now, before I get there, I just want to say this. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus always, even when it seems that he's silent. How many of you have ever thought that, you know, God's not talking to me. I have no idea what he's doing. Why is he allowing this to happen? Why? But we never ask him because we're not supposed to ask him that stuff, right? But we'll say it to ourselves. Well, the reality is, if you're saying it to yourself, who are you really saying it to? Be honest. We can't lie to God. I'm sure he's up there laughing at us. I know he is. God has a good sense of humor. He's got broad shoulders. He knows us. So no matter what, we have to keep our eyes on Christ. Because if we do, it builds perseverance. How many of us like perseverance? How many of us like patience? Oh, Lord, give me patience. What's he going to do when you pray for that? Come on, people. He's just going to make everything calm, right? He's going to add more waves to your pond. He builds trust. How does God build trust? By helping us through things. That means we're going to get into stuff, doesn't it? That means things are going to come our way, doesn't it? and by bringing endurance. How many of us in this life need a little bit more endurance? Wow. You know, I think about those guys that run 2 and 3 miles, you know, lap after lap after lap after lap. Those guys are into some endurance stuff. My body couldn't take that. Neither could theirs. They had to build up to it. And that's what God's doing with us. He's building us up to that point where nothing. That's a big word. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. It's an amazing phenomenon. And boy, sometimes, and I hate to say it this way, I know I'm on the internet, but sometimes that process sucks because it means pain here, and it can mean physical pain. But that process builds in us something far greater than gold, far more precious than silver or diamonds. It builds in us a conforming faith that sets us unto eternity. Because, dear brothers and sisters, please hear this. Conforming faith is what makes us a Christian. Conforming faith is what makes us a Christian. It has nothing to do with what we have done. It has nothing to do with what we want. Conforming faith that makes us a Christian has us look to God to find what He wants us to do. Makes us call out, Lord, is that You? Who are You, Lord? Makes us look into the face of Jesus Christ. Because God is not the God, small g, of the good times. If He is God, He is God all the time. When I think about the song that we're about to sing here at the end, I am who you say I am. It began as a call, as a reminder that it was about me. It's about me. It's about I. I am who you say I am. But now, it's a call to Him, telling Him that I've left behind what was. I am no longer that person. I am who you say I am. You see, it's either I is the focus or you is the focus. And I'll tell you right now, it's not about the I. It's about the you. So today, I want us to remember that God has called us His children. He has set us apart from the world. And He has given us the hope of glory in Jesus Christ. The question is, for you and for me, are we willing to call upon the name of the Lord in every situation, to look to Him even when it hurts, and walk a walk that is worthy of the One who saved us from ourselves? Do you want true conforming faith, or do you want a faith that conforms to your needs? Because if that's what you want, you're going to get it, and this is the only heaven you'll know. But if you want a true conforming faith, a conforming faith that brings us into the place of truly being Christ-like ones, because remember, Jesus submitted to the will of God. Then our reward is in heaven, and this is the only hell we'll ever know. You get to choose. That's the amazing part. And for you folks out there on the internet, you get to choose too, which you're going to choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can I hear that? Father God, We thank you so much for the day that you've given us. Father God, what a glory it is to know that the trials we're going through are meant to define us, to help deliver us to that place where you want us to be, to guide us into thy paths of righteousness for thy name's sake, and to come away from those times understanding that your grace and your glory far abound more than the situation we find ourselves in. For this situation is temporal. And Lord, we are now in Christ Jesus eternal beings. So Father, conform us by faith to the image of your Son. Whatever that may mean, Lord, we submit ourselves to you, that you would grow us up to be the men and women of faith that you want us to be. And Father, we know that's going to be difficult situations. But Lord, we choose the Lord. We choose you in every situation. In Christ Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.